This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsNap Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Lives last night, and we learned a couple of things about the two teams that won, the Denver Nuggets beating the Phoenix Suns. And how much does Devin Booker have to be extraordinary for Phoenix to win games? Can the Phoenix Suns win when he just has an average shooting night? Can they win when he doesn't shoot 80% from the floor? And even though no one has an answer for Nikola Jokic, and it would be unfair to put the defensive effort on Nikola Jokic on anybody, it is clearly not working with DeAndre Ayton. Now, Jokic is a two-time MVP. You're not going to stop him from getting a triple-double, and there's really no defensive guy that's going to make it so difficult for Jokic that he's neutralized. But they need a better effort from somebody. And the Denver Nuggets, again, a win away from the Western Conference Finals, up 3-2. But this series goes back to Phoenix, and the home team has won every single game so far in these 5 games. The other game last night was Philadelphia. Now, they went to Boston, where for some reason the Celtics are just simply struggling at home in playoff games. They've now lost back-to-back games, losing in Philadelphia in Game 4, and then losing last night, 115-103, where the MVP of the league, Joel Embiid, was magnificent with 33 points. He also had 4 blocks and 7 rebounds. He even knocked down a couple from the three-point line, and no one is able to stop Joel Embiid either. But nevertheless, the Celtics have got a problem. I look at Phoenix in the other series last night, and I say, look, go back to Arizona, win that game in Arizona, and let's just set up a Game 7. Let's set up a Game 7 in Denver. Haven't won a game in Denver. It's at altitude. Booker and Durant are looking a little tired. They're playing a lot of minutes, but set up a Game 7. Set up a whatever could happen. In Boston's case, I don't know if they can get back home for Game 7, and I don't even know if they want to. They cannot seem to win at home. They are confused. They don't look like they have any sort of discipline. It's really a mess. And to say that about a team that still has won 2 games in this series, they're not getting blown out. They're not down 3-1. They're not down 0-3. This is a Game 6 in which they trail 3-2, but could get this to Game 7 with the road win, and they've won a game on the road in this series. But boy, oh boy, do they look like a disaster. And I don't know if they want to go back to Game 7 in Boston, because Philadelphia feels very, very comfortable at TD Garden. Celtics fans booing them last night, booing them off the court last night. And how much of this is on Joe Mazzulla? Well, he's the youngest coach in the NBA. It's also his first year in the NBA. And one of the things that the Celtics had last year was that Ime Udoka was his first year as head coach, led the Celtics to the finals. And that's not something you expect to do in your first year as head coach. So we gave a lot of praise to Ime Udoka because he overcame something you don't normally see. First year, not a first year with a team, first year in general. You don't normally get to a point where you have a turning point in the season and you're fantastic and you run out the regular season, go to the playoffs, win all your games to get to the finals. Joe Mazzulla, on the flip side, is really doing what you would expect a first-year coach to do. You can know the game, but implementing matchups and strategy doesn't seem to be happening in this series. And so I don't want to say that it's Mazzulla's fault, but one of the things that this team is lacking is the discipline that Udoka used to bring to this team. So Philadelphia, a team that didn't beat Boston much in the regular season. I think the one time they did beat them, the Celtics were down a number of players, have now a 3-2 lead going back to Philadelphia. They are in control. Now, is Denver in control of their series? Well, technically, yes. When you're up 3-2 and you have 1 win in 2 games, and you know that at worst you're going to get the deciding game at home, yes. But I think that that Arizona is going to be nice for Phoenix to go back to. Again, home court. This is the way this series has progressed. My biggest concern is what I asked earlier. Do the Phoenix Suns need Devin Booker and Kevin Durant, for that matter? But it's mostly Booker, because Booker's stats are just astronomical when they win. Do they need those kind of numbers? Do they need him to have a night where he shoots 77% from the floor? Is that the way the Phoenix Suns are going to win these basketball games? That's the way they've won them now. The two games that they've won in the series. This game was close. It was 3 points at halftime. But as the game wore on, and one of the aspects of playing at altitude is that you can wear your opponent down, and that's what Denver does. That's where Denver got separation in the third quarter. And once they got the separation, they didn't give it back. And a lot of times you get a game where you fight to the, you know, you fight as close to the end as you possibly can. But this is a problem for Phoenix if they can't find a way to win a game in which Booker gives you an average night, where he's not extraordinary, where he's not spectacular in terms of the stats. Now, that means other people are going to have to contribute. That means that you're not just going to get a flash every now and then from Terrence Ross or Landry Shamet. You're not going to get a you need to get everybody in the box score doing something and contributing something. This is going to be an issue for Monty Williams again if he continues this series without Chris Paul. Now, word is that Chris Paul is getting better. They may have him for game six. We shall see. He's been kind of working out. He's been shooting some jump shots and whatnot. So they could get him back for game six, and that's really going to help Phoenix chances of getting the series back to Denver for game seven. But again, the big question is going to be, what else can you get from people? What else can you get around the Booker-Durant combination? Because Denver was double-teaming those guys and daring everybody else to be big contributors. Right? DeAndre Ayton had 14 points and 9 rebounds. But he doesn't play tough enough and is not problematic enough to make it a little tough on Jokic. Now, that's very difficult to do. Not a lot of people can do that. But that's kind of your role, is to sort of make it a little bit difficult, make it a little bit harder, so that because Jokic, who gets the ball all the time, isn't a threat to score all the time because there's a lackadaisical effort on the defensive end. But if you are Denver, you felt like you played pretty well in Phoenix, enough to make the game somewhat close where it could have gone your way. So I think that the Nuggets don't have a problem going to Arizona and winning game six. But I do think they know that, hey, if worse comes to worse, we're back home where we've pretty much shown that in the second half of games, we can really tire this team out. And that's not the way we are playing up here all the time. So in one case, I think you're seeing an edge in the Eastern Conference as the Sixers, I think, have it over the Celtics. But in the West, it depends on Chris Paul's availability. It depends on whether or not Phoenix wins at home and goes back to game seven. And if they go back to game seven with Chris Paul, what would that mean? Remember, game two in Denver, Phoenix had a lead in that game late before Chris Paul went down. And even afterwards, before Denver came back and won game two. They know that there have been situations where they've been in a close game with Denver, in Denver. Not game one. That game got out of hand for them. But game two, again, they had a 7-point lead in the second half before it was, taken away. So I think there's still some optimism on this side for the Phoenix Suns. But they've got to be careful, because if they don't get an exceptional night again from Devin Booker, and the more mileage and the more games that you play, the less likely that's going to happen. And most people figured that he was going to come back to earth at some point. You can't keep shooting nearly 80% from the floor throughout the series. So while he still had 28, it took a little bit to get going. Right? 9 of those points came in the second half. So the Suns, who are kind of blown out in the third quarter. I think it was the 39-25 deficit. I mean, scoring in the third. That's where Booker struggled the most. You're going to need him to play at an extraordinary level to beat Denver. You hope you don't have to. But that might be what it takes. We're not talking about two teams that have a bunch of, you know, you can get a great night from some, you can't count on a great night from somebody else. You can get it, you know, like a surprise Lonnie Walker that the Lakers saw in the fourth quarter. You can get that. But if you're counting on, again, extraordinary numbers, it's probably unlikely to happen again. That's this game of basketball. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that's Ron with two N's. So tonight we've got a chance for the Lakers to close out their series against Golden State. I honestly don't think this is going to happen. I think Golden State is going to win this game. I think you just wait for game six if you're Los Angeles, but you give it a good yeoman's effort to try to win in San Francisco. But you're playing the champs with their backs to the wall. The other game tonight, Miami taking on the Knicks, and the Heat are trying to wrap that up and get to the Eastern Conference Finals. The Knicks are trying to stay alive in a series they've just not been in. Even in their win, they have just not been in this series against the Miami Heat. For a number of other reasons, some people say lack of effort. Some people lack, intensity. Some people saying the matchups, out coaching. Multiple reasons why the Knicks are not in this series. And Miami now can close that out. And what a run it is going to be for Miami when they do eventually close out this Knicks team. You know, you got to win three straight now if you're New York. And I just don't think they're going to do so. All right, we'll talk more about that coming up. Good Wednesday to you as we continue. It is Wake Up Call Plus. The NFL schedule releases on Thursday, but international games were released yesterday. We got that list for you as well. All right, we'll keep it rolling along. Again, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, and that's Ron with two N's. We'll continue with Wake Up Call.
Listening to Wake Up Call on the Sportsnap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, again on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. So again, I think a lot was said about the two winners of the Game 5 series last night. Denver really looked like a number one team in the Western Conference.
Again. It looked like they had lost it and now they're back.
Yeah, it's they are probably the most... I don't want to say disrespected. People use that term too lightly. I mean, it, for anything, right? Like if you say, "Hey, I think this series could go seven," right? You're just disrespecting me. Yeah, it's like, geez, you can't even make a comment on a series without everybody losing their sensitive mind. So I don't want to say disrespected, but there wasn't a lot of believers when this playoff started that Denver would hold that position and be the team to beat in the playoffs, right? They were just like, yeah, at some point Denver is going to fall apart in the playoffs because they've done it in the past. And especially when we had this series with Phoenix, when Chris Paul was healthy, there was a thought of, well, this can be really good. I mean, this is what you got Kevin Durant for. Here's the series. I know you don't have a lot of depth, but you still have three guys on the court that can change the outcome of the game. And without Chris Paul, it's been a lot of work for Phoenix to get those wins in Arizona, but they did. They did, and they just couldn't last night because Devin Booker didn't shoot 80% from the floor. He did have that one shot at halftime that we went in at the buzzer that was just a little too late. That was pretty awesome. But other than that, it's been, you know, you get a normal outcome. Good, you know, a good night, but not a great night, not a spectacular night of shooting. And Denver pulls away in the third quarter, and they just keep a double-digit lead, and they just finish off. They get to the finish line and win the game at home. And Philadelphia, they're just owning this series. I mean, they're just they are toying with the Celtics with matchups.
And I don't know if the Celtics, maybe they just ran out of steam or something. But it just looks. I mean, they don't look like a playoff team.
They don't look. Discipline. They don't look.
No.
They are a mess.
They're the number two seed, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
They're the number two seed. Yep. They don't look like a two seed at all. They look like. I mean, they almost looked as if they were an eight seed that got lucky.
And that's why these playoffs are awesome. That's why they're awesome, because there was, and we talked to a bunch of people about this leading into the postseason, which was at the beginning of the playoffs. It really was Milwaukee, Boston, and there even was a gap to the Sixers before you got to the gap of everybody else, Cleveland, Knicks, Heat, Atlanta. Like, it was such a wide discrepancy of talent and ability that the West didn't have, right? The West seemed to have that gap between 1 and 7 pretty tight. But the East, it was ridiculous, the idea that, look, there's been 3 really good teams this year, really good teams in the Eastern Conference, Milwaukee, Boston, and Philly. And everybody else has been playing okay, but nowhere near the level of these 3 teams. And even the 3rd team among those 3 is not in the same class as the first 2. And now we've got a Milwaukee team that's been golfing. We've got a Celtics team that doesn't look anywhere near like the number 2 seed. And a Philadelphia team that has finally found out who they are and what they do. And they've done it at the right time. They've absolutely done it at the right time. They did not have Joel Embiid in the series. And listen, I think that the rest that they've been able to give Joel Embiid has been effective, because last night they put him out on that court for 37 minutes and he was fantastic. He was fantastic. 33 points and again, 4 blocks, running up and down the court. And it goes to show you, when they know who they are. Look, this was the first win in this series where James Harden was relatively average. 17 points, 4 of 8 shooting, right? 39 minutes. Didn't really do a lot offensively like he's done in the other 2 games that the Philadelphia has won, in which he scored over 40 points. Had to do that in game 1 when Joel Embiid wasn't in the lineup. Did it in game 4 in that overtime victory where he knocked down the 3-pointer that basically won the game with 18 seconds remaining. But last night, I mean, 17 points, Joel Embiid did the work. Tyrese Maxey did the work. Daniel House did the work off the bench. I mean, this was a Celtics team that had shown all season long that they were building something with the 3-point shooting, good defense, right? They were a team that knew what they could do, and they're not doing that in this series. And even in games when they win, they're not doing a lot of things. They're finding ways to win, but they're not looking like what they looked like during the regular season, to not only get a number 1 seed, number 2 seed, but to fight Milwaukee all season long for that number 1 seed. And so the gap between what we thought was Boston and Philadelphia is now down to 1 game for Philadelphia to get to the Eastern Conference Finals. And if they play Miami, what the hell happened in that conference? Right? I mean, seriously. What is it? Throw out a bunch of tiles and pick 2?
Yep.
Is that how that worked? Like, hey, we were just talking about frozen envelopes yesterday. And Miami and Philadelphia. How about that, everybody?
Makes sense.
Yeah, makes sense. Why not?
I mean, that's how you predicted it from early on, right?
Yeah, when
the start of the playoffs.
3-8 Eastern Conference Finals.
Yep.
I mean, seriously. And like I said at the top, if Boston wins game 6, do they even want to go home? They can't win at home. They couldn't win at home in the Atlanta series. I mean, they lost game.
I remember they couldn't close it out.
They lost game 5 to the Atlanta Hawks.
Was it Tatum that apologized?
Yeah, exactly.
Said sorry for making everyone travel.
Then they lost Then they lost game 1 to Philadelphia.
Yep.
And now they've lost game 5 to Philadelphia. So they've lost 3 of their last 4 home games in the playoffs. It's ridiculous. Ridiculous. And that's the exact opposite of what's happening in the Denver Phoenix series. I thought Denver was going to win yesterday. I mean, this is the way this series is going. I'm not surprised that Denver won yesterday. I mean, come on. I mean, first of all, the shooting wasn't going to stay hot. Right? It wasn't going to stay hot that long. But I'm not ready to say Phoenix has got a bunch of problems. Right? I'll see what happens in game 6.
No,
but I'm ready to say Boston's got a lot of problems.
I did think it was a missed opportunity, though, because had Phoenix won in Denver, then you flirt with the idea of saying, you know what, maybe give Chris Paul an extra day. But now, right. Now in a way, you kind of have to have him back.
Yeah, there's been some buzz. I think Doug Haller is reporting in The Athletic. He's taking jump shots. He's been working. He could be back for game 6.
And listen, I mean, there was a couple times he was coaching.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
he got those guys in a huddle and just said, no, guys, listen to me. This is what's going to happen. This is what I'm seeing.
I just think that if you're Phoenix, you're going to have to find a way to win a game if you do not get an outstanding night from Booker. Because you can't count on 80% shooting, 78% shooting. You just can't count on that. If that's what you need to beat the Nuggets, you're not going to beat the Nuggets. That's not the way basketball works. Basketball works is when you have that as an added bonus to what you're doing, and that's kind of you go, hey, we won because of that, but we didn't expect, we didn't go in designed to, for that. That's what they're going to have to do. And again, it comes down to, I think it really comes down to, any analysis of Game 6 is going to have to come down to whether or not Chris Paul plays. Look, the criticism of DeAndre Ayton, and it's been real from everybody, is and it's justified. But if Chris Paul is on the floor, he gets helped by Chris Paul. He can be helped by Chris Paul. But the reality of it is that we can't really properly analyze a Game 6 until we know his status. And if we analyze it leading into Thursday night without him, and Chris Paul then surprisingly is going to suit up, you know, after we do our show or anybody else writes their column about it, then that obviously you dump the analysis that you have because it's going to change. But the Nuggets last night did what you do. Yes, it was a close game. It was 3 points. They came out firing. They were explosive in the very beginning of this game. Didn't catch Phoenix off guard a bit, but you know, hit all their shots very early, got to a double-digit lead very early in this game. But when it settles down, Phoenix made their run, came back, tightened the game up, got it to 3 points at halftime, and that's when I thought, all right, here we go.
But then it just looked like they got tired.
Yeah, then they just looked exhausted.
And like you said earlier, it was like, I don't know, if maybe it was altitude, maybe it was, you know, just, I don't know, old guys.
Yeah, exactly. But this is one stat to keep in mind. When so far, Phoenix has won 6 times in the postseason, right? They've won 2 games in this series and 4 games in the previous series against the Clippers. In the wins that they have, Booker is averaging over 40 points per game. When they lose, and they've lost 4 times in this series, right? Now 3 games in this series, 1 to the Clippers, he averages 29. All right, now 29 is still a good scoring average. But it goes to point out that when they win, that's the Booker you get. The Booker that explodes for just a ton of points, making him, you know, statistically the, you know, either right with Jimmy Butler or around Jimmy Butler, the best player in the playoffs. Can you win a game where he averages just 29 points? Can you win a game when he has an average and yet pretty good night? That's the question Phoenix is going to have to ask, but with Chris Paul possibly coming back in Game 6, it's a question you may not have to ask, because Chris Paul could change definitely what Game 6 is about when they go back to Phoenix. All right, we'll continue. Let's get to the NFL international games next as Wake Up Call continues.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsNet Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, coming up in hour number 2, we got Noah Levitt joining us from NBC Sports Philadelphia. We'll talk Sixers. Hour 3, Brandon Cristal, KOA in Denver. We'll talk to him about the Nuggets. So, Nuggets-Suns series. So we got you covered on that end. The NFL will announce its full 32-team schedule on Thursday. But as a little teaser, as a little appetizer, they're like, yeah, about those international games. Here you go, kids. And everybody gobbled it up. So there's going to be 5 international games in the NFL, 3 in London and 2 in Frankfurt, Germany. They will not be going to Mexico City, so these are the only games in the international slate. Here you go. The Atlanta Falcons against the Jacksonville Jaguars. That'll be October 1st at Wembley Stadium. Jacksonville will play their 2nd game in London. How do you feel about that? But this time they're the road team, so they're not going to be the home team. So they do their annual 1 trip out to London. That was the first. The second one is they chose them as a road team to go back out there.
They are trying to make them London's team.
I was just going to say that. I was going to get back to that in a second because I think there's a reason for this. So they're going to go out there and they're going to play at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. That's going to be on October 8th. So they're going to stay out in London for a week. So they're going to play on the 1st, and then they're going to stay there to play the Bills on the 8th. So they're going to get 2 games in London in a 2-week period, 2-game period, 1 week time. The Ravens will take on the Tennessee Titans on October 15th. That will also be in London. And then the 2 games in Germany in Frankfurt will be on November 5th. Dolphins, Chiefs. Sorry, Philip, man. That you know, just wondering if the Miami Dolphins coming to Kansas City, and you were ready to go to Kansas City to see your beloved Dolphins. Now you have to go. I don't know what the distance is, but but a million miles. How about a million miles?
It's just a tad bit further east. Tony.
You might as well get on a rocket ship and go into hibernated sleep.
Let me ask
while you
so,
travel to Germany.
When you saw that, did you immediately think of Philip?
I did.
I mean,
how perfect. Just because he said yesterday.
Yeah, just because we were talking about it yesterday, and I said, you know, God, would you want to see your team play? I mean, for me, it was all about cold weather, and Kansas City gets cold.
Yeah, that's right.
But, hey, you know what? Now they're playing, what, I guess in October?
November.
November?
Yeah, so you get a little November action in Frankfurt.
Yeah.
And Colts-Patriots will be there.
You know
the
what?
Week.
If I'm Philip, maybe find a way. I mean, that's right after Oktoberfest.
Get out to Germany, Philip.
That could be a lot of fun.
Absolutely. So those are the five games. Now, let's get back to Jacksonville.
Can you get a Frankfurter there?
Can you? Yeah.
I'm pretty certain
you
can.
Right?
Got to find one.
I've never been to Germany.
No, but you know, whenever you look at photos, I mean,
I watched European Vacation.
Germany looks like a really cool place to go, especially up like in the Bavarian Mountains area. I don't know if I'd want to go to Berlin.
Right, but in other places?
Yeah, Munich, Frankfurt. I mean, it's up in the hills.
Yeah, I'd like it.
Got that old town look to it.
I wouldn't mind tooling around Europe on vacation.
No, and you go there for an excuse of seeing your team play the Super Bowl champs.
Exactly. I was just telling you, here in Nashville, I got some friends that work with the Titans radio network. Now they get to go to London, have a nice little time in London, have a good little vacation, working vacation, to go maybe go see the what's that big eye? Is that what it's called? The London Eye?
The London Eye?
Is that the big Ferris wheel?
Yeah.
Yeah, you get to see that, Big Ben.
Would
Parliament.
You go on the Ferris wheel?
Huh? Would I go on the Ferris wheel?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I've gotten a little bit more cowardly in my older age, but I think I'd go on the Ferris wheel.
Well, I mean, that one I feel is a lot safer.
It's a little higher.
You know, it doesn't rock.
Yeah.
You know, I think all the little buggies are stationary, so I think you'd be fine in that one.
I think I could do that.
I think I could do that one. The ones that move, that's...
No, I ain't doing one of those that flip upside down.
Yeah, no, I'm past that.
I'm done with that.
So. Past that phase.
I'm not 10, all right? So I'm not as exciting as I used to be. But back to Jacksonville. So I think you're on the money. I think you hit the head on right on the nail on the head. I think they've been leaning towards, hey, Londoners, how would you like to get to know this team a little bit better? Because we know they come here once a year, but, you know, it's an in-and-out, do the old in-and-out. And be done. How about we leave them in London for a week, and then you get to really know them? So they're going to be here for a week. They're going to practice. You might get to go to practice. They get to do some public appearances. How about that, London? Would you like that? Would you like this team, this up-and-coming franchise? And look, I know one game's a home game, and they always do it, so the people in Jacksonville are accustomed to it. But this team is starting to rise up a bit. They made the playoffs last year. They won a playoff game last year. This isn't the same old crappy Jacksonville Jaguars we used to send over there. So now there's like, oh, they're good. Now here, London, don't you want this team? Yeah, I'm curious about that one. I'm curious what the conversation was. If you're going to leave a team in London to build up goodwill in London, meaning like just even more attention, it can't just be to just drum up international support and London support for the NFL. They've been going there for close to 20 years now on a regular basis. So you can't tell me that leaving a team in London for a week of practice has anything to do with marketing. It can't just be because we're going to sell more jerseys. Like I said, you've been going there. You're going there three times this year. You've been going multiple times for the last couple of years. You've been going since what, 2006, 2007
mm-hmm.
on a consistent basis. So to me, it's like you're only doing it for one reason, and that is to drum up support for one specific team, not the league in general. You're not trying to get Londoners interested in the Baltimore Ravens who come there in October or the Tennessee Titans. You're not trying to get more Derrick Henry jerseys sold or Lamar Jackson jerseys sold. You're leaving one team there from the time they arrive. So if they work out in Jacksonville and then leave for London a little early for the game on October 1st, then they're going to be there for a couple of days before the game. And then the whole week prior to the game leaving, so that you get a good chunk of time where they can be available just to be in London, just to be around Londoners, to again, mingle and to make press appearances and do all of that. Don't tell me this was just a, well, what the heck? Why don't we have two? Why don't we have them stay? Why don't you have them stay permanently? Is that what you're trying to lean into? And by the way, before we start, if the league even is thinking about that, please explain to me how that's going to work. Remember, this is the big London argument that we have all the time.
Yep.
No one has come to me, and I want it to be me specific. So somebody needs to come to my house and knock. I want an NFL official at my door sitting down in my living room talking to me about this. So if we can arrange that, that'll be great. But no, in seriousness, nobody in the NFL has ever laid out the logistics of a team in London. Mm-hmm. Has never laid it out before. And they keep saying they would love it. Oh, we would love it. But no one's ever laid out how it would actually work. Would they have a home base in London and a home base in the United States? Meaning, could you keep them in the United States for 3 weeks?
Like kind of a Buffalo-Toronto situation?
Yeah. Well,
right,
no.
where Buffalo... don't the Bills, did they have some home games in Toronto?
Yeah, but that's I'm saying,
you know, kind of like they're able to play somewhere else. I know what you're talking about because the one argument we always bring up about London is like, okay, what do you do if London plays at Seattle?
But
they have to at some point.
But I don't mind if an NFL team is in, if let's say Jacksonville wanted to play a game in Orlando, right?
Right,
I don't have a
yeah.
problem with that. Like that's not a big deal. If Jacksonville said, you know, once a year we're going to play Orlando just to increase our fan base. Or if the Texans wanted to play one game in San Antonio, that's fine.
What about the year the Raiders were bouncing around?
Didn't
they bounce around one year where it was when they were waiting their stadium to be built?
No, I think they still played. I don't think they played all the games on the road. I don't think there's been an NFL team outside the Saints that had trouble outside of the Hurricane.
Yeah.
I think that was the only one.
That's right. I was wishful thinking for the Raiders to go play in San Antonio and Birmingham.
This is completely different. Our team is in London. Our schedule says we have to go play the Chargers. We're going to go play the Chargers. Now, if you're the NFL, do you say, okay, London Jaguars, since you're playing the Chargers, why don't you just stay in the United States and play Arizona the next week? Since you're scheduled to play Arizona, we might as well make it the next week so you don't have to fly all the way back to London and then back to Arizona again.
It sounds to me like that's the only thing is, you know, you're doing maybe 3 week road trips at a time.
Yeah, and now I'm a free agent, okay? So I'm a free agent with a family. I'm 32 years old. I still got another 5 years left. I'm looking for a team. This London team's going to pay me a lot of money. And I go, hey, listen, okay. Do I want to move my family to London? Do I want to pay London taxes? It's like 50% over there, right? Do I want to pay taxes in London now? Do I want to have a schedule where I go, okay, fine. You know what? It'll be an adventure. I'll take my wife and I will buy a flat in London. We'll make it an adventure. I only got a couple of years left.
Let's pick on Trevor Lawrence.
Right. Right. and then you go, but then I got to tell my wife and kids, I got to go to the United States for 3 weeks to play football games while they're home by themselves.
That's cool.
One of the appeals of the NFL, it's not baseball or basketball. When you fly to a city to play, usually fly in on a Saturday
and then
you
that's
fly
the other question.
Sunday night.
That's the other question, all right? If London is hosting home games, say you know the London Jaguars are there, does a team fly out the following Monday?
Right.
After their game? Because traditionally they fly out, Friday, Saturday?
So
to play a game on Sunday.
If you're messing around with the Jaguars on this two-game London thing, what's the point unless you come up with the logistics? We'll see. Or maybe Shad Khan just likes having his team in London and said to the NFL, yeah, we don't mind. Do it. We'd love it. We'd love it.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, thanks for joining us on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that's Ron with two N's. Philip says he's never been on a Ferris wheel or roller coaster.
What?
Wow, really, Philip? Never been on a roller coaster or a Ferris wheel? Never had a county fair come into town and rode those rickety things that looked like they were going to break, but you didn't care?
Don't ride those.
No, never
ride those. Don't ride,
ride
those.
God. You know what,
but
Ron?
You've never been to a theme park?
I am on this earth by the grace of God only. I took my son on some of the worst things I've ever seen at a carnival.
Yeah.
Because I was like, all right. My wife is like, go on it with him. I'm like, you go on it with him. Look at that. That thing looks like it's falling apart. What are you talking about?
You ever seen one where it's shaking a little bit?
Yeah.
Yeah. No. I'm good. I'll do the fun houses.
The fun houses. Yeah, I'll do the walkthrough exhibits. But I ain't going to
I'll
be
go
riding.
Get lost in a maze of mirrors. Ooh.
A death-defying ride that's been put together by rusty bolts from a guy that's driving it in the back of a truck, in the front of a truck. No, thank you.
No.
But
can't
yeah,
do it.
Roller coasters, I will still do a good roller coaster. My problem has been, as I've gotten a little wider, I've had a little bit of trouble sometimes when they snap you in, and I get a little nervous with that. But if I get in pretty good, I'm okay. I won't do drop rides anymore. I will not do those. I'm done. I will not go on those again.
I think the only one I'll still do is, it's Tower of Terror at
Tower
Disney
Terror
World or, what is it, Guardians of the Galaxy at,
yeah,
Disney, at California
that's
Adventure.
That's at least suspended, and it kind of bounces you
yeah,
up and down.
Yeah, I'll do those. Those I don't mind.
No, I don't like when my feet are dangling
about,
and I'm on something and I'm hanging above there forever and then it just plummets you down.
What about like one of those rides that are like the slingshot?
Never. I'll never do those. You know why I'll never do those? Because I've seen enough of these videos now where people are in those things and it looks like their face is being peeled off from behind.
That or you
their
just see
faces, they're like or, they're unconscious
or they just pass out.
Yeah, they just pass
out. That doesn't
out.
Look like no. fun to me. Like, you know, I don't because it's always extra. It's not part of the, you know, admission price that you go. It's always an extra fee. And I just look at it, it's like, all right, you paid like 10, 15 bucks. Maybe you get a video at the end of it. But, you know, if you're passing out,
yeah,
why do you
no.
want a video of that?
So in all these videos have the same thing. It's like some girl, she's sitting there. She's kind of excited. Or petrified, but most of them are like, yeah, woo, yeah, slingshot. And then they sit there, they're strapped in, and then you hear a big click, and then they shoot, and then they're screaming, and then the screaming turns into, like, terrified screaming, and then you just see them kind of disappear, and they're passed out. And I'm like, no, I'm never doing that. No, I'm too old. I mean, my youth is over. My youthful exuberance for death-defying thrills have passed. I'm done.
Here, here.
Slingshot. Never going on slingshot. But again, I'll do some. I still love roller coasters. I still think they're awesome. I was on one at Universal Studios a couple of years ago. Velociraptor. It's in the Jurassic Park section. It was great. Absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
Great. It had that moment that coasters now have where you think you're slowing down, but then it kicks in some sort of speed,
yeah.
Some sort of magnets kick in, and you zip through.
Yeah, I love that.
I love that. So that's fun. So, well, Phil, that's surprising, Philip, in Oklahoma, that you
have
been on a Ferris wheel or a roller coaster.
Hey, you know what? I mean, we were talking about the London Eye. You're not heading to London.
That's right. You're going to Germany.
You got to go to Frankfurt.
You're going to Frankfurt, Philip. You got to go all the way there to see the Dolphins.
And at this point, we kind of need you to go just to give us a firsthand report of if there's Frankfurters there.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you got to assume that, right?
Yep.
I mean, I know that, you know, Germany's famous for sausage, but I want to know if they have a true Frankfurter.
I do, too. I do, too. What it would be like. So Adam
the
Schefter,
knobs
when, he
at
tweeted
the end.
Out, yeah, when he tweeted out that the Jags are playing two games, immediately, I just went to the replies. I'm like, I wonder what people are really saying about this. And they're all saying the same thing.
London Jaguars.
By the league. Yep. It's been a move by the league and Shad Khan to eventually test the market to see the viability of a London team.
But why is that? Why? Because, you know what? I mean, the English Premier League and, you know, European soccer leagues will send teams over here during the summer time for an exhibition.
Right.
They never send us regular season games. They only send us exhibition games. Not once as a team, you know, say, I don't know, does poorly in attendance. I don't even know if there is a team that does poor attendance over there. I doubt it. But, you know, they're not once as, you know, a Tottenham or an Arsenal or Chelsea been like, you know, or Manchester United, they're owned by Americans, going, you know, we should move this team to Tampa.
Yeah, right. Oh,
you know, because, I mean, Manchester United is owned by the Glazers family. Why not move up to Tampa?
I know that, you know, the league is, it's all about money. I get it. But I don't understand why this league has done this where they put a little toe in the water and then they dive in with a cannonball.
Do you think it's because of like baseball and basketball? You know, they have a team in Canada.
Yeah, but
I'm just throwing it out there. I have no idea why.
I think obviously they want somehow, some way to take in the European market, right? So the NBA is a global league, right? So the NBA doesn't need a team in Shanghai to get the China market, for example, right? Like, they don't need a team in Beijing. They just the NBA just exists, and they just people just watch it. They love it, and they watch it. And in for whatever, Goodell feels like, well, in order to get the European market, to get them more interested in what we have as a product, I got to play real valuable games over there. Not exhibition games, not preseason games. I have to play games that really matter, that teams are fighting to win, because it matters in the standings. Like, they're going to see, they're not going to see a game where Trevor Lawrence throws two passes and then is out and then three backups are playing. Trevor Lawrence is going to go out there fighting mad for the win. So he's giving them these games. And then he just said, yeah, and then we're going to go to Mexico City, and then we're going to go to Germany. And there have been many conversations about playing a game in Tokyo, a regular season game in Tokyo, a regular season game in China. There's been plenty of talks about this. And I don't know how much you can how much can you do before the Players Association says, whoa, we're not going to be traveling all over the world to play games unless we're getting a bigger share of this pie. Like, we're going to have to renegotiate this. If you're going to send us to China and Japan and England twice and Germany a bunch of times, yeah, don't get us wrong. We get it. The more that money makes, the more we make, but we're renegotiating this deal. Like, there's – and if you want to start a European league, we've gone down that road before, but would it make a difference if the league was directly attached to the NFL? Like, the World League of American Football was – it wasn't successful, but there were pockets of teams that were successful. Now, what if you said, okay, we're not going to do a minor league American football league, but your teams are actually going to be part of the NFL. You'll play more games in Europe, and every now and then you'll come to the United States, and somehow we'll work it in as a third conference. Is that the ultimate goal here? It can't be to have a team in London. It can't. It can't be to have a team in London. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't logistically work. That's my biggest complaint. That's what I was saying earlier. My biggest complaint in this is not that the league, of course they would love a league team in London, for crying out loud. Of course they would. But it's all the logistics behind it. It's not appealing to a lot of players to be put on that team to pay the incredible tax rate that they have over there and to be on a plane constantly, all the time. It doesn't work logistically unless you can explain it on how it would. If you said, all right, we're going to play in London, but you're going to play a lot of road games. And then like three in a row, four in a row, you're going to get four home games in a row. Okay. But is that fair? Is that a fair way to do the schedule?
Well, no, because I mean, you think about that. It's not just a one-off too. You got to do that twice.
Jacksonville, if you're going to move Jacksonville, maybe. They got to stay in the division. That means they got to come to Nashville. They got to go to Houston. They got to go to Indianapolis. They got to be part of the rotation. So they have to go to California. They have to go to Seattle every year.
Every once in a while, yeah.
Every once in a while. They've got to go to Vegas. They've got to go to Arizona. Like, they can't and just not have, go to on those trips.
You know, and I know we have teams that, you know, we'll have three road games in a row sometimes. You know, just the way it works. But, I mean, I would almost say that's a scheduling nightmare.
Yeah. And it's not, these planes are not like NBA planes where you're taking 15 people and staff where they've gutted the whole thing and each one is a bed. I mean, you're taking 100 plus people on a trip with players, coaches, staff, PR people, owners group, like there's almost 100 people that travel with the team. So they're going to be on planes for 8, 9, 10 hours. On certain trips? Come on. So, all right, back to the NBA playoffs when we come back. And we're also going to have the good, the bad, and the dumb. We'll talk Philadelphia in their win against Boston and the Sixers up 3-2. And we'll also get into tonight's games, Golden State and the Lakers. If you were Darvin Ham, how much would you play LeBron James and Anthony Davis in a contest where Golden State's going to have guns a-blazing? We'll talk about that coming up next.